Good morning. In response to just thinking about the video, I've got two choices to make. I can say a lot, or I could say very little. And I'm going to choose today, for several reasons, to say very little. And so I would like you to just pause for a moment in silence and just pause and reflect to yourself, and then I will close this in prayer. Morning, family. If you have your Bible, and I certainly hope that you do, will you please open it to the Gospel of Mark? So we continue preaching slowly but surely through the Gospel of Mark. We're going to be looking at chapter 1, verses 40 through 45. The Gospel of Mark, beginning in chapter 1, verse 40 through 45. I like to hear pages turn. I can hear the app turn on, but I trust you and love you dearly. So I know that it's coming on eventually, and you're probably scrolling feverishly. So I'll wait just a few minutes. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, beginning in verse 40, reading down through verse 45. And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling, said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him, and said to him, "I will be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once, and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priests and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them." But he went out and he began to talk freely about it and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful to open your word today. And Father, as we encounter yet again the person of Jesus, and we ask the question, who is this Jesus and why should anyone follow him? We were reminded that last week we saw that Jesus had a divine authority and a divine purpose. So God, we're going to see King Jesus yet again. So Father, I pray that you would give us fresh eyes, fresh ears to hear. God, may we stand and marvel in great wonder at who Jesus is and leave this place changed because of it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. There's a famous story about a Catholic missionary. He's known and became canonized as Father Damien. He was born in Belgium, became a priest, and eventually a missionary to Hawaii. And I want to read to you a few lines from his entry in the Encyclopedia of Britannica. He reached Honolulu in 1864 and was ordained a priest the same year. Moved by the miserable condition of the lepers whom the Hawaiian government had deported, he volunteered to take charge of their settlement. Damien, known for his compassion, provided spiritual, physical, and emotional comfort to those suffering from the debilitating and incurable disease. He served as both pastor and physician to the colony and undertook many projects to better the conditions there. He improved water and food supply, housing, and founded two orphanages, receiving help from only a few priests in 6 years of the entire 16 years that he was there. In 1884, he contracted leprosy, refused to leave the colony, and would eventually die among all those whom he cared for. In our story this morning, Jesus will be among the lepers. But unlike Damien, he cannot contract the uncleanness of leprosy, but rather he will make all those he encounters clean. Like Damien, he will go into the midst those he came to save, and instead of dying among them, he will die for them. We've been allowing the Gospel of Mark to answer several questions. Who is Jesus? What does it mean to be his disciple? We saw last week that Jesus possesses divine authority. And he has a divine purpose, a specific divine purpose. He's not just a miracle worker, but he's come to die on the cross, to be raised from the dead, conquering sin and Satan forever, so the kingdom of God will come on earth as it is in heaven. And this morning we get a further look at who Jesus is. We get a look at Jesus' compassionate heart, that he goes where others will not go. He will love those whom others have ignored. And he will die for those he has come to serve. This morning I want us to see just two basic things. Jesus is compassionate, and he has divine cleansing power. Jesus is compassionate, and he has divine cleansing power. Let's look at the compassion of Jesus in verse 40. And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." The leper understands something about Jesus, that he has divine authority, divine power. He can make this leper clean. But to understand the compassion of Jesus, to understand just how compassionate Jesus is, we need to really understand the context of what's going on here in verse 40. You see, the man kneeling before Jesus is not just any sick man. He is a man with leprosy. And according to the Mosaic law, very unclean, so much so that he has to be exiled out of the camp and live in a colony all by himself with other lepers and not living with any of his family, friends, relatives of any kind. In fact, Numbers 5 said this, "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Command the people of Israel that they put out the camp everyone who is leprous and has a discharge of everyone of any kind who is unclean through contact with the dead. You shall put out both male and female, putting them outside the camp, and they may not defile the camp in the midst of which I dwell.'" So listen to me. Along with great physical suffering, with leprosy came a high degree of social ostracism, being cut off from everything that you know, being cut off from everyone that you know, you care for and love, that the simplicity of everyday life. You're outside the camp by yourself in a colony, so much so that they were viewed as the walking dead, like a corpse. In Numbers 12:12, when Miriam gets leprosy after disobeying God, Aaron says to Moses, "Let her not be as one dead." They were contacting someone with leprosy. It was like walking among someone who was dead, according to the ancient world. So not only are you physically suffering, not only are you socially ostracized, but everyone you know, love, and care for views you as someone who is like walking dead. Not only that, but as we look throughout the Old Testament, every story of leprosy is often represents sin. So for example, Exodus 4, God gives leprosy to Pharaoh. Numbers 12, Miriam gets leprosy for disobedience. Gehazi is given leprosy in 2 Kings 16, 15 through 27 because of her greed. And King Uzziah was given leprosy because of his unfaithfulness in 2 Chronicles 26. And so whether you contracted leprosy in a non-sinful way, it didn't matter, because they had a disease in their culture which was commonly associated with sinful behavior. See, this is the man kneeling before Jesus and says, "If you will, you can make me clean." Because he is quite unclean according to the Mosaic law, and Jesus should not draw near to him, but should distance himself from him as far as he can. Distancing himself from him. The response to the question by the leper is met with Jesus in verse 41. "If you will," the man says, "you can make me clean." In verse 41, moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him. Do not read past that too quickly. Jesus does what he's not supposed to do, according to the law. He does what no sane person is supposed to do. He puts his physical hands on a leper and says, "I will be clean." Now, most English translations say moved with pity, moved with pity. Now, if you have the most recent NIV, it will say something else. It says Jesus was indignant. Jesus was indignant, meaning he was kind of angry. Now, that's quite a difference, isn't it? Right? So why does the difference exist? Well, Bible translators who have a very, very tough job not only have to choose what's the right way to translate a particular word, but you may not know this because of all the evidence that we have, all the manuscripts that we have. Sometimes they have to decide what the original word actually was. And so the NIV says, you know what? Jesus was indignant. Why was he indignant? Because he looks down at the leprous man and he sees sin that has so manifested itself in his leprosy, so ostracized him, that Jesus is angry at the nature of sin in the world. But listen to this. Even if the NIV reading is right, and it might be, because those are some smart dudes, okay? They might be right. It could be right. Jesus' compassion is seen regardless. Why? Why is it seen? He's standing before the presence of a leprous man, and he reaches out his hand and touches him. Like, don't read past that too quickly. He reaches out his hand and touches him. And the result is that the man is made clean. Jesus says, I will be clean. Jesus does what only he can do. He touches an unclean man without contracting any of the uncleanness himself. Jesus puts his hand and is compassionate towards the leprous man. You know, if I'm being honest, the only disease in American culture that I can think of that remotely represents what it's like to have leprosy is HIV or AIDS. I read a story this week. In the 1980s, there was a former denominational leader in our own convention, by the way, who had a daughter who had a son. When she had a son, she lost a lot of blood and needed a blood transfusion. And unknowingly, the doctor gave her AIDS, which she then passed down to her next child unknowingly. And her husband was a pastor, and when he told his church about this horrible situation he was going through, he was immediately asked to resign, and then experienced great difficulty and judgment really throughout the rest of their ministry and lives. And that is a shame. David Garland, reflecting on this passage, says this: Jesus is not someone who is aloof, inaccessible, or detached. Our culture does not touch, and many people live in isolation from others. We seal ourselves off from one another with our privacy fences and retreat to the inner sanctum of the family room. The church is sometimes in danger of doing the same by retreating to its members-only, fully equipped family life center, ouch, which becomes a safe cocoon from contract with the harsh realities of a disease-ridden, sick sin world. But those who bear the name of Christ need to minister in the name of their Lord to those who are untouchable in our society. Brothers and sisters, Jesus is more compassionate than we could ever imagine, and praise God, because he is more compassionate than we often want to be. If we're going to follow Jesus, we don't get to decide who is worthy of love and who is not. We don't get to decide who receives compassion and who does not. And I'm not talking about compromising any biblical convictions, but I am saying the church has to follow Jesus in his compassion. Jesus is greatly filled with compassion. And that compassion moves Jesus to action, to touch the leper, the untouchable in our society. Some of you have modeled this so well for us. You've had people in your home, stay in your home for a very long time. You've befriended those who others might avoid or give up on, and you're an example to the rest of us. We are to follow Jesus in his compassion. Sometimes when we read the Gospels, we're so caught up in asking, like, who is Jesus? Which is really good. That's really important. So that's primary purpose. Who is Jesus? But don't forget that the reading the Scriptures, right, is meant to form us in a particular way. And it's meant to form us to be like Jesus. We want to follow him in his compassion. That being said, I want to offer a word of encouragement just to everyone, to every single person in this room. Jesus cannot be made unclean. He cannot be made unclean. He draws near to the brokenness. He draws near to the disease. He draws near to the outcast, and he touches them. If Jesus can touch a leper, the walking dead, so to speak, there is nothing about you or your life that frightens him. Nothing. Not a single thing. No matter the gravity of your sin, how worthless you might think you are, or how unlovable you've tragically convinced yourself to be, if you come to Jesus and say, if you will make me clean, he will not run away from you. He will draw so near that he could touch you. Jesus' compassion is overwhelmingly good. It's better than you could even imagine. Think about that. You have such a limited capacity to understand how great Jesus is. He's even better than you think he is. He's even more compassionate than we imagine. So I don't know what you're carrying this morning. I don't know what you've continued just to dig deeper into your internal closet. But I'm telling you that Jesus is not scared of you. He will draw near to you if you say, if you will, make me clean. Jesus is the eternal Son of God with divine authority and a divine purpose. Listen to me, ready to be filled with compassion. Just ready. He's better. He's even better than you think that he is. He is filled with great compassion. So what happens? What happens when Jesus stretches out his hand and touches the leper? Look at verse 41. Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I will be clean. 42. And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once. And he said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priests, offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them. And so the result of Jesus putting his hand on the leprous man is not that Jesus contracts leprosy, but that the leprosy immediately is driven out of him. It left him immediately. Because nothing that comes into contact with Jesus can win this fight. It says, be gone, and it's gone. The eternal Son of God has done what only God can do. He has, so to speak, remember what I said earlier about how they do leprosy, Jesus has raised someone from the dead, so to speak. But I said something else earlier. I said that along with physical suffering that leprosy brings, it also brings a high degree of social ostracism, just being cut off from all of life, being sent out from the camp. So why does Jesus tell the leprous man to go to the high priest and do what Moses commanded? Well, because the high priest has to declare the leper clean, doesn't he? And when he's declared clean, he then comes back into the camp, and his life and community is all restored. See, the restoration and life-giving cleansing power that Jesus brings. He restores him to his life. The priest has to make atonement and declare the leper to be clean so he can come back into the camp. But what does the leper do? Immediately, at least. Okay, he most likely went to the high priest. What does he do immediately? He cannot help himself. He must tell everyone what just happened. I was alone by myself in a colony. I'm leprous. I'm sick. I'm broken down. I'm like the dead. He goes out and tells everybody what? Everything. Everything that happened. And notice this. Listen to this. Notice what happens. Jesus and the leper trade places. Let's keep reading. Look what it says. But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but he was out in the desolate places. Jesus walking around freely, ministering wherever he could go, the leper outside of the camp in a colony cut off from the world. Jesus heals the leper and heals him and then takes his place. And so now the leper walks around freely and Jesus is in a desolate place. My former seminary president, Denny Aiken, awesome preacher, awesome man of God, says this: ironically, Jesus and the leper have traded places. The leper is now on the inside with family and friends. Jesus is on the outside in a lonely, desolate place. And we might remember Isaiah 53, 11 through 12, that Jesus would be numbered with the transgressors, yet he bore the sins of many, and he made intercession for the transgressors. This picture of trading places, this picture of substitution, is at the very heart of the gospel. The internal Son of God in the person of Jesus of Nazareth is counted among sinners so much that he bears our sins on the cross. Paul tells us that Jesus Christ, he knew no sin, but for the sake of us, he made him to be sin who knew no sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. In Galatians, we are reminded that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming what? A curse for us. The glorious truth. I'm going to teach you a really big word, okay? Penal substitutionary atonement. Sin needs a penalty, but we can't pay it. So Jesus becomes our substitute on the cross so that we might be reconciled with God, and he makes atonement. Jesus is our substitutionary atoning sacrifice on the cross. And very early in his ministry, healing the leper, we see shadows of this substitution, this picture of what's about to happen. In healing those who are sick, Jesus does not just distance himself from them. He doesn't do that. He draws near to them, so much so that he takes their place. When we say that Jesus died on the cross for you, we don't just mean that he died so that you could have a benefit. We do mean, because we have our prepositional phrases, they're tricky, but prepositions are important. He died in place of you. And that, my dear friends, is amazing. The cleansing power of Christ is present in him cleansing the leper. But here's what I haven't told you quite yet. So when the leper goes back to the priest, okay, and he says, listen, I've been healed. What will the priest do? Well, several things, by the way. You can go read it in Leviticus 13 and 14. 13 and 14, it reads like an ancient dermatology catalog. But it's important for the Mosaic Law. So go, you can read that and see what's going on here. But he goes to the high priest, and the high priest is going to do a couple things. The high priest is going to make atonement for the leper. You know what he's going to do? He's going to sacrifice an animal, a lamb, a goat, or a bull. He's going to sacrifice the animal on the altar. Then he's going to take the blood from the animal, and he's going to sprinkle it on the leper. And then when the blood hits the leper, the high priest says, you've been made clean. Now, that should be clear to a lot of us, what Leviticus is pointing to. But just in case it is not, every Old Testament sacrifice, every lamb, every bull, every goat that's shed and its blood that is poured out points forward like a type. It just shoots like an arrow pointing forward our direction to a final sacrifice, the final bloodshed on the cross that can make not just leprosy clean, but the depths of your sin washed away like white snow. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me white as snow? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. 1 Peter tells us that the atoning blood of Christ is not, maybe we're not atoned with perishable things, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. And the cleansing power of Jesus is available for anyone this morning who just comes and says, if you will, make me clean. So if you're here this morning and you can't think of a single time in your life where you ever kind of needed the cleansing power of Christ, if you're here this morning and you can't think of a single time where you've kind of repented of your sin, turned turned away from it and trusted in Christ, his sacrifice on the cross, his resurrection, and his ascension for new life. If you can ever think of a time where you've done that, will you come? Will you come and say, Jesus, make me clean? It's readily available for those who haven't come. And so if you're here this morning and you're like, I don't know if I've ever done that. I don't know if I've ever been cleansed by Jesus. I don't know if I've ever dealt with sin. I don't know if I've ever understood why I needed to be cleansed. I don't even know if I understand sin. Let me just lovingly say, come, come. I will spend as much time with you as you need. And if you're here this morning and we're family already, praise God for that. Let me encourage you something. The cleansing power of Jesus is not something that was for you. It is for you. And the truth is, brothers and sisters, that if you're a Christian this morning, the penalty of your sin has been paid. You have been forgiven. But until Jesus returns, we live in a fallen, sin-filled world. And sometimes that means we go the wrong direction. I mean, even I sometimes sin. It's true. It is so true. But you know what? You know what? Listen to me now. The cleansing power of Christ, Jesus' blood, is available for me every day. Not yesterday, every day. And so Christians live daily lives and we just come. We come and we repent. We bask in the glorious truth of Jesus' substitution on the cross for us. And like the leper was made clean, we can be washed as white as snow. So come. Maybe that's you this morning. Maybe Saturday, last week, 2 weeks ago, you were not who you actually are. And you've been kind of keeping it quiet down in here and not just dealing with it. But John tells us if we confess our sins, right, he is righteous to do what? To forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Jesus' healing of the leper proves yet again that Jesus is the Son of God. It reminds us of his compassion, his cleansing power of the gospel that can wash away all of our sins. And it reminds us, dear brothers and sisters, yet again, that the kingdom of God is coming on earth as it is in heaven. Praise be to God. Father, we come before you just grateful. Grateful and overwhelmed that you would love us. You would love us so much that you would send your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. And that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Father, I don't know the state of every heart in this room this morning, but I do know that the cleansing power of Christ is available to all. So God, I pray that by your grace, you would move those to yourself and that you would draw those who belong to you closer to yourself through the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.